Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, the Catholic Church, and different cultures. My visitors today are Jutta and Ute Gois. Jutta and Ute, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Thank you.
Hi.
Jutta and Ute Gois are two students from Germany who are traveling in New Zealand at the moment. They are sisters and live in the northern part of Bavaria in a region called Franconia. Both girls have been very active in the Catholic Church for many years, and they will share some of their experiences with us. Jutta and Ute, you come from a small town which is traditionally Catholic, but which is surrounded by many predominantly Lutheran villages. How is your relationship with the Lutherans in the town?
I think we have a really good relationship to the Lutherans. So we have many masses with the Lutherans together. And I think we are whole together, a big community.
So you have the services together, the Catholics and the Lutherans, in the Lutheran Church and in the Catholic Church?
Yes, we change it.
Yeah.
And within your friends, do you also have Lutheran friends and Catholic friends?
Yeah, of course. It's really mixed.
It's really mixed.
Yes.
And don't make a difference.
No, not in real life.
And while we're talking about school, in Germany, there is religious education at almost all schools, including the public schools. You both went to a public school. Can you tell us more about the subject, religious education, and the way you experienced it in a public school?
Yes, of course. Up to the 8th class, we learn the main things about our religion. So we learn the main prayers like Lord's Prayer and the Rosary. And we learn some Bible stories. And we learn how the services are going. Yes, and after the 8th class, in the 9th class, then we learn some about the other religions.
So 8th and 9th grade is, so what age are you then, 16?
15,
yes.
Yeah. And then?
And then we learn some about philosophies, mm-hmm. Yes.
So philosophy and ethics comes then after the 9th grade. So first you learn the basics?
Yeah.
About what the Catholic Church teaches? And
yeah.
Then you start learning about ethics and
the other religions.
And other religions.
Oh, yes.
So you learn a little bit about the different religions in the world, the big ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we can understand the other religions too. And we learn about the traditions, why the other religions maybe have no shoes in the church or something. Yes.
And you know, then when you meet people from other religions, you see, for example, some have veils and some don't and cover their hair.
Yes, yeah.
Did you find it very interesting, this part of religious education, when you learn about other religions?
Oh, yeah, I like it really much.
Yes, and because in our school we mostly have only Catholics and Lutherans, and so it was really interesting to learn about other religions we don't have in school.
The Catholics and Lutherans are very close together.
Oh, yeah.
So you all, and so when you go out to another town, like now you're in Auckland, and you see many different people, different ethnic groups, it's very different to a small town in Franconia.
Yes, it's really different. So we are really excited to meet new people, because in our little town there is no possibility to meet them.
To meet people of other faiths and religions.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And you've already been to an event with the interfaith group, and you've met a few people from the Sikh community, the Muslim community, the Hindu, and the Jewish. And so that was interesting for you. Did you have good conversations?
Yes. Yeah, it was really exciting, because we never met so many religions on one place. And yeah, it was an adventure.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Te Ngā Kawaiora, Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitors today are Jutta and Ute Gois. They are sisters and are from southern Germany. And they've been actively involved in the Catholic Church there. And they've just, they're visiting New Zealand, and they have already had the chance to meet a few people from different faiths, different religions, which is very special for them. Jutta and Ute, you are 22 and 18 years old, and until not so long ago, you've served as altar girls in your parish. How is the rule? How do you become an altar servant in Germany?
After the Holy Communion, we get some training from the altar services. They are altar services already, and they show us how we have to move in the services. Yes, and after a half year training, then we get one service where we
get introduced.
Yeah, we're introduced to the community.
So you have half year, so 6 months of training for children who want to become altar servers.
Yeah.
And how often is it? Once a week or?
Yeah, once a week.
Once a week. Half year. That's quite a long time.
Yeah, but you have to don't know much. So
and it's always really fun to meet the people, and the training is more fun than learning.
Yeah.
And you're taught by other altar servers, by the older ones.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And you're in a little group together, and you learn it all together.
Yeah.
Every person who wants to get altar service in this year, learn it together. Yes.
And how do the children get the interest? Do they know altar service before? When they have Holy Communion, do they already know that they want to become altar servers?
Yeah, before the Holy Communion, the children are introduced to the altar services, and they have some evenings together or activities, and yeah, so they are friends already.
So before they have the Holy Communion, the first Holy Communion. And at what age do you have Holy Communion?
At the age of eight.
Eight. And whereas in New Zealand you have confirmation and then Holy Communion, in Germany it's still Holy Communion first and then confirmation, right?
Yes, the confirmation is in the age of 13.
Yeah.
So the children are prepared for Holy Communion first, and in their preparation they get to know the altar service, and then after the Holy Communion they start training.
Yeah.
So you have to have Holy Communion first.
Yeah.
Without the Holy Communion, you don't know enough, and so we have to make the Holy Communion before we get to can make the altar services.
And then you said they have an introduction. They have a special mass. Can you tell us more about this mass once they have done their six months of training?
Yes, they prepare the mass by their own, and then they read the prayers, and they were introduced to the
community.
So they say the name and what they are, their hobbies, and then they get a present and an ID card, so they feel really like
a new member.
Yes.
So it's a mass where they are actively involved, so they help with the preparation. You say they are reading the prayers of the faithful, they are reading during the mass, and so they do something beforehand. It's not just that they are coming and they are introduced.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, from the half year training, there are 1 or 2 months only for this one mass.
So you have four months of real basic training, and then 2 months you already prepare this special mass.
Yes.
So it's a big event.
Yeah.
And then all altar servants from that year who had Holy Communion, they all become altar servants at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah, in one mass.
In one mass. And what happens if children are missing out the training?
They can start in the next year with the younger guys.
So you can't miss 10 out of 20 trainings?
Yeah.
No, if you miss too much training, then you have to wait a year, or you have to get maybe personal training. But it's not okay that some guys make every week 1 hour training and other don't do any training.
Yeah. But there's no test or so?
No. If the older altar services say that's okay, they are fine, then it's okay.
Okay, yeah. And how is the social life for the altar boys and girls in your diocese? Do they spend time together?
Yes, we spend time together, not only in the services by our own. We spend time together at some evenings or some daily trips. Then we have one day where all the altar services from the diocese come together to Münster Schwarzach, a little town. And
that's a little town with a Benedictine abbey, but there's also a boarding school for children.
Yes, yeah. And there are some workshops prepared for them. So it's every four years.
So every 4 years you go to Münster Schwarzach.
Yeah.
And you say you do games and you have some social activities.
Some fun together, yes. We have a mass and then we eat together. And then we have some fun with the workshops and our big picture from all the services who come. Yes, there were, the last time were 1,020 altar services there.
More than 1,000 altar services from the whole diocese came together.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a big event, and so that's why it takes place only every 4 years.
Yeah. And another event is all 4 years, the altar services of our diocese travel to Rome and come there together with all altar services of Germany, who are older than 14, I think. And it's a really big event because they spend time together and they learn the Pope. And
They meet the Pope.
Yeah, they meet the Pope. And it's a really, really big event.
So that's also all every 4 years. So every 4 years you go to Münster Schwarzach, but that's for all altar service, no matter how old they are.
Yes, for every.
And then when they are older than 14, they can ask to participate in this pilgrimage to Rome.
Yeah, that's right.
So are you going per parish or are you meeting in the diocese?
You are meeting in the diocese and then you come together in Rome then. In different buses.
Yes, because not all altar services from every community are going there. So the week where they go to Rome, not every altar service has time. So it's a little bit mixed. But it's funny to learn new people.
To meet new people,
yes.
Yeah.
And they come from all over Germany, and then you meet in Rome, and they're all going to the Pope together.
Yeah, that's really crazy.
So did you participate?
Yeah. For 3 years ago, I met the Pope, and
Well, what did the Pope say? Were there also altar service from other countries?
No, just from Germany, and because everyone has vacation at this time, and
so it's a big summer holiday.
Yeah, it was really hot.
There were 35,000 people there.
35,000 altar service.
Yeah. Yes.
From Germany?
Yeah.
Only from Germany.
So you met many from northern Germany, from east and west? And
yeah, I met new friends and they are really nice, yeah.
And did you exchange also, how is it to be an altar girl in northern Bavaria and how is it to be an altar girl in Hamburg, for example?
Yeah, and we talked about activities in our community and what they make, and it's what's interesting.
So did you take over some of the ideas from other regions?
Yeah, some ideas, they are really good.
Tell me an example.
Jutta, do you know an example?
I think in other communities they make more daily trips than in our community. So we had more evenings with films, watching films, and they're going to the swimming pool or more activities. So it's a little bit different.
Well, it depends also. If you're in a city, you can go to the museum for within a day. You can do a day trip there. But if you're in a rural area and there's no museum and you have to drive far, then it's easier.
Yeah, and they have more altar services, so they, if they make a daily trip, they don't have to participate all of the altar services. If there are 10 altar services, it's good. Yeah. So it's easier to plan something.
Yeah, we learn new games too, and yeah.
And what about the sharing? Did you also watch the altar service in Rome? Because as you want to see, how are other altar service behaving in the church? Is it exactly the same?
Yeah, the basics are the same. Sometimes they make a little bit different things, but the basics are, yeah, the same. Yeah.
Yes.
And you've been to a mass in Auckland. Was it also, did you feel very familiar with everything?
Yes, it was really, the normal exercises are the same than we make in Germany.
So that's good. It's that's our big Catholic church with all the same rules and then different local changes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier the ID for the altar service. So you and Uta has brought her ID to New Zealand. And it's a really nice little book. And can you tell us a little bit more about this ID?
Yes, we get the ID when we were introduced to the community in this mass, and when we say our name, and then we get an ID, so we feel really like an altar services and have it on a paper. So it's a little bit,
yeah. It's a real ID with a picture and with a stamp on it and the signature from the priest.
Yeah.
So you belong to this parish, and then you know this is where you come from.
Yeah, so yeah. We were really proud on this idea, and we showed it all around, and everybody had seen it.
And there's also a beautiful prayer on the back, and it's written, of course, in German, but if I translate it in English, it would be, Lord Jesus Christ, you are in our midst in the community that has gathered around the altar. You are in our midst in the word of the gospel that we are hearing. You are in our midst, the signs of bread and wine on the altar. Help us that we serve in awe and joy. Help us that we listen to your call and that we do your will. Amen. When do you use this prayer? It's a beautiful prayer.
Yes, they read it in the first mass of the new altar services, and then I think it's in our head and stays for the whole time via altar services, and it goes with us.
So you have it memorized?
Yeah.
A little bit, yes.
And you don't say it at the beginning of the Mass or something?
No.
No, only in the first Mass. But
yeah,
it's every year the same prayer, so if you go to the Mass where the new altar services are introduced, then you remember your own Mass again, and it's quite
so the older boys and girls, even if they are, you say that the young ones start at 8-9 years old, and so when you are older, you are still in touch with the other older girls and boys, and you participate at this Mass, the special Mass, even if you are not introduced, so everybody comes and supports the young older boys and girls?
Yes, I think so, because we want to show them that we stand behind them and that we are happy to have them. So we always try to get to this one Mass and to be really much, many services.
Spend a lot of time.
Yes,
with you.
Yeah.
So then you have a big group of older boys and girls for that yeah, special Mass.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's a lot of support with the older and the younger one. For the older, support a lot the younger ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they help them if they have questions or something.
Are there other occasions where they get together? So you have the social events, but that might be a bit different if you have an 80-year-old and a 19-year-old.
Yeah, in the Mass, in the service of Easter and Christmas, the really old, so
really old. What do you mean? With really old?
25 years old.
Yeah, the ones who do not normally come to a service, but on these two events, they come and do the
And
so for the big church feasts, you say that all altar service are called to come to celebrate, to be at the Mass.
Yeah.
So then you have to have a lot of alps for each one.
Yes, but some of the old services buy them on their own, so they have some in reserve.
Yeah.
Yes. And if they are not enough, then we do a little bit participate.
You are present, but you might not be serving.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So I wish you all the best, and I hope that you get to see a lot of churches here and different services, that you see how the older boys and girls are here in New Zealand during the time that you're here.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I have invited, I've mentioned a little bit about this event, about the sacred spaces. Jutta and Ute have been to one of the events with different faiths and religions, that is, and we are organizing an event for Auckland from the 4th to the 12th of November. And this is something quite special. It's the first time that we do it this way. And I'd like to read a little letter from the Auckland Interfaith Council. And it says, "We are a voluntary charitable organization of people from various faiths working to promote dialogue and understanding among the diverse faith communities in Auckland. We would like to inform you about an initiative called Exploring Sacred Spaces and Getting to Know Our Neighbors. From the 4th to the 12th of November, throughout the city, a number of faith venues have opened their doors to the public at the times noted on our poster." And the poster is already on our Facebook page, and it's also in many churches. The visits will include a tour, a brief introduction to their faith and worship practices from the host community, a chance for questions, and some refreshments. All visits are free. So we have the kickoff ceremony will be at the Islamic Center in Avondale, and then the next day on the 5th of November we'll go to the Hindu temple in Avondale, and the 7th of November St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Takapuna. Then we'll have on the 8th of November the Sikh temple in Manurewa. On the then we go to the Holy Trinity Anglican Cathedral on the 10th of November, and then the Buddhist temple in Flatbush, which will be on the 11th of November, and on the 12th we'll finish at the mosque in Mangere. And so every visit is free of charge, so it have different days and you can choose which day you would like to come to, or also you can visit all places. And we'd like to encourage to visit the places that are closest to your neighborhood. But it would also be nice if you can visit more places. And if Ute and Jutta are here, they are also welcome. It's for Aucklanders, but it's also for people who are visiting Auckland and who would like to get to know other faiths, other religions. And I think it's a good occasion so that you don't just know it from the books, but that you know a little bit more about, different religions. And I think we celebrated last Saturday was a big celebration for the Baha'i faith. They celebrated 200 years since their founder was born. And so it's all about getting to know each other and showing respect to each other's religion or faith. And it is nice and very welcoming to see all the different people, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So you've met already some of the organizers from this event when you went to the celebration of the Baha'i community.
Yeah,
we met some, and in the faith meeting.
And whom did you talk to? It was a group of young people.
Yeah, there was from an interfaith tour for students from France, and they are from different religions. There was a Jewish girl, a Catholic boy, a Muslim, and an atheist. And they are traveling the whole world to know the different countries and their religions and bring them together. And yeah, we talk to them very much. Yeah, and they were very nice.
They said that within 7 months they are going to travel 20 countries.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so they said the last week they had a break week, and it was the first break since 3 months. It was really, it's a really stress, but it's good for them to make new adventures and to learn new people. And they want to find out about the education in the different countries, because it's really different. Yes, it was, they said it's a really, really good experience for them.
Yeah, in France you also have the separation of the church and the state, and whereas when you explained about your religion education, and that starts at school, in a public school, this is not the case in France. And I think that is an important part. And they were thinking of how can we teach young people about different faiths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you exchange some of your ideas?
Yes. They told a little bit of the stories they have seen, and it was really interesting. They get really often meetings and have every day some new people to interview, and so they have really made...
And they have to report. They have to report back. So they were chosen, the four of them, and they are traveling for 7 months all together.
Yes.
And they constantly have to report back to France.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw a video they made, and it was very good.
What was the video about?
About
their experience from Palestine and Israel.
Israel, yeah. They visited Palestine and Israel, yeah.
Yeah, and it was really good made.
Yeah, well made, yeah. Yeah, thank you very much, Jutta and Ute.
Thanks for having us.
I wish you all the best here in Auckland.
Thanks.
And in New Zealand, Diane, you are traveling the country still.
Yeah.
And, well, you'll miss some of our events when you're not in Auckland, but what's coming up in our center is, for example, the 500 years since the beginning of the Reformation is also commemorated here. And we are going to have at our center, we are going to have two talks about this topic on Monday, the 30th of October from 7 to 9 p.m. and on Monday, the 6th of November from 7 to 9 p.m. These two sessions are going to be facilitated with Nick Thompson, who works at the University of Auckland, and he's a church historian. I had him in an interview a couple of weeks ago. On Wednesday, the 15th of November, from 7 to 9 p.m., Deacon Danny Karatea-Gotthard will come to our center, and he will give a presentation with the title, God Speaks to Me in Māori. He will help us looking at the story of the coming of the Word and Christianity through Māori eyes. And for all our events at the center, please register with us per phone at 09-638-6238 or via our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a good Friday and a good week ahead, and thank you, girls, for having come here. God.